Yes, here we go now, baby. Right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition. Before you bet, they're live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. Make sure you smash that like button right down there. Make sure you smash that subscribe button right down there. Hope you guys all had a great weekend. I had a fantastic weekend. It was almost derailed by a trip to KFC yesterday for dinner. You know, I usually go to KFC around once a year. And at the conclusion or in the middle of the meal, I really tell myself that I'm never even here again. But I always give them another chance. And I came to the conclusion yesterday that KFC, out of all the fast food restaurants out there, they put the least amount of effort into everything, essentially. It's no good. So I'm never going back to KFC. We will not have them as a sponsor on the program anytime soon. Okay, so a lot to discuss here on the show today. Hot on the heels of a Steph Curry show here on Saturday afternoon. We're going to do a little recap of that, put a bow on the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris, France. We have some Major League Baseball bets to discuss, some beautiful looking betting options on the board today. And we're going to continue our look at NFL futures. Ticking down here to the start of the regular season. I cannot wait. Don't you love the routine of football season, being an NFL fan every Monday? The whole day is leading up to the game. Every Thursday, the whole day is leading up to the game. And Sunday, it's a ritual. It's fantastic. I cannot wait for the season to get going. Okay, let's bring in my guest for the day, the Magic Ass Man. Looking fantastic per usual. Johnny, how are we making out?
Good. I enjoyed the Steph, kind of enjoyed the Steph Curry show. We can talk about that too, because I think that kind of ranks as one of my bad beats, but Steph Curry is also one of my favorite players, so I enjoyed it. I had LeBron James plus 1,000 to lead the USA in total points, and Curry with those final four threes passed him and won that market. So that was good and bad, enjoyable, not enjoyable from a betting side of things. I also went to Lions training camp yesterday, so getting a little football in.
Okay, yeah, I want to ask you about that here in the second half of the show. But Team USA, I'm not going to give them too much credit. They did what they were supposed to do. They won the gold medal. I don't think they covered too many spreads along the way, but they won games. That's all that matters. And I was thinking this about Steph Curry. You know, he has this other just incredible moment in the gold medal game. And he has a lot of these on his resume. Just an incredible. That was a legacy performance by Steph Curry. Wasn't it? Steph Curry's got to be one of the most likable athletes of all time. Do you know anyone who dislikes Steph Curry? People dislike LeBron. They dislike Kevin Durant. A lot of other big-name popular athletes, people dislike them. Does anyone dislike Steph Curry? I mean, maybe you're sick of him kicking the shit out of your team all the time, but he doesn't have a whole lot of drama like these other guys. I think there was one thing in the NBA Finals. Remember, he took the mouth guard out of his mouth and threw it into the stands. That was kind of the only black eye. I think that really stands out to me. Mettler, do you dislike Steph Curry?
No, he's my favorite player of all time, probably. I got the Davidson Curry there behind me. I actually wore 30. I made my high school weight. This is way, but he was like a rookie. I mean, when we got new jerseys in my high school, I had 30 ordered for me. And that time he wasn't even popular. I remember someone calling me Martin Broder. So it just wasn't a number you'd see. I think the big thing for Curry, he's very relatable just because of the way he plays. And like, everyone loves to shoot threes. Your average person is kind of like more his size and can shoot threes. And you just feel like you could, like you can't, but like you feel like you could emulate his game. Where like when you have like these wing players like LeBron, like nobody's LeBron, right? So I think when you just like, I think that's what makes him like extremely, extremely popular, because even, you know, I ref basketball too. And like at the back end of my reffing, it was, the game is completely different because of Steph Curry and everyone's shooting threes and people wearing the Curry shoes and they're just popping threes from everywhere. And they're like celebrating like him. I think his game's very relatable to the average player. So I think that's what makes him extremely popular as well.
And that right there is why big men don't sell shoes, because big men, a lot of the average basketball player, you're not replicating yourself after Shaq and David Robinson and these big time centers, right? It's the Allen Iverson,
right?
The answer, those awesome shoes, and Steph Curry, and you know, the wing players and stuff, right?
Yeah, I think Allen Iverson falls in that exact same category, and I think that's why he was extremely popular as well. He just made you feel like, you know, you're like a 6'1" guard. He's scoring 30 points a game. Like, this is really cool, right?
Steph Curry, yeah, good for him. Okay, so before we get into the Major League Baseball picks for today, I reached out to Mettler yesterday, gave him a little bit of homework. So I saw a bit of a popular topic going around yesterday afternoon was people predicting who will be on the 2028 USA Olympic team. Of course, the games are going to be in Los Angeles, so it's going to be even more of a big deal. And Team USA, the competition's ramping up for them. So it should be more of a competitive tournament here in Los Angeles. But John put together a 12-man roster, a little bit of controversy here. John, break down your prediction for the 2028 men's roster here for the Olympics.
All right, this is my guess. So this isn't necessarily like the you can go through and you can pick NBA All-Stars and you can pick the most popular players and all those things. But there's also like an element of like you got to build the team a certain way so it like flows and like connects. And I was just kind of like looking at like how they build this roster and kind of players I thought would match that same style of play in the future here. So I think Tyrese Haliburton, you know, he was on this roster knowing he's going to get a shot at the next Olympics. Devin Booker, it will be, I think, 30 or 31. He'll definitely be back. Anthony Edwards, again, is like the future. He was there. I think the big one, I think Tyrese Maxey clearly jumps into this. You know, Tyrese Maxey, I think he exploded onto the scene kind of too late in this window of this Olympics. So I don't think he kind of got that shot. He's 23, he'll be 27. The big one, probably one of the more controversial ones here as well, Jalen Suggs. To me, Jalen Suggs plays that Derek White, Drew Holiday role. And Jalen Suggs, same thing. He'll be like 26, 27 when this happens. He's an elite, elite defender. His three-point shot keeps improving. He'll kind of be in the prime of his career. I think he plays that role that they were like looking for from a Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday was starting, right? So like that's an important piece. The same guy who I also think plays that role for them, that Derek White, Drew Holiday, is Keegan Murray, 3-and-D guy. You know, the big thing too, when I was putting this together is, you know, they bring in these like USA select teams as well, who scrimmages the national team in Vegas. Jalen Suggs was on the select team. Keegan Murray's been on the select team both like last year and this year. So like they're already kind of a part of the program. And that does like kind of mean something, right? So same thing. I think Paolo Banchero, I was kind of surprised he wasn't on this roster, to be honest. I thought he'd kind of get that young spot where you're not going to play a lot of the minutes. Honestly, he probably would have been a better fit than Jason Tatum because all the controversy with Jason Tatum, Banchero would have kind of fit into that spot and he would have known that was kind of going to be his minutes. So I think Banchero immediately steps in as like a starter, a big time star for them. Jalen Williams from the Thunder, same thing. He was on the select team last year. He's a stud. And when you go 4 years in the future, I think he's even better. Cooper Flagg is going to be the first overall pick. He was on the select team playing them this year and he hasn't even played in university yet. So I think that tells you where he stands. They went three bigs this year. They had Bam Adebayo, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid. I think Bam Adebayo comes back. I think Chet Holmgren is the obvious guess to fit in. They said Anthony Davis wants to play again. Not sure if it fits his timeline. I think Jalen Duren was on the select team last year too. They talked really highly about him. I think he kind of gets that like last center spot. He'll still be pretty young when that happens. No Tatum. I put no Tatum. I see all the comments here. I don't think he'll play. If he wants to play, he'll be on the team. I just don't know if he'll run it back. He has two gold medals now after this experience. I'm not sure if he accepts the invites. So
yeah, a lot of that might depend for Tatum on who's coaching the team too, because I don't know if Steve Kerr has committed to coming back. I would expect if he's not going to be back, Eric Spoelstra will probably take over the reins of the team. But yeah, a lot of people pointing out there that Tatum was not on your list. Not a good experience. And he didn't play very well. He went 0 for 17 on jump shots. I saw people tweeting about yesterday. And here's the thing. People were like, a lot of the Celtics fans, you get your feelings hurt because Tatum wasn't getting a whole lot of minutes. In what other situation, when it's like a playoff or win and go home, is a team using all 12 players on the roster? Basically, well, never. That never happens. So, yeah. One guy who I could see in the mix, Mettler, Donovan Mitchell. Do you know why he wasn't part of the team here? Is he not just in the Team USA program? Or do you know why he wasn't on the team this year?
He was. I think he was on the last FIBA World Cup team. Was he on the last Olympic team? I don't remember. He was on one of the teams and he was a starter. And then he wasn't a part of this cycle. You think he would have been the thing is too, is you don't really know who's declining and who's accepting, right? So maybe don't want to play through the summer or they've already had their experience. That's why I didn't put Tatum on the roster because he already has two gold medals. So like, I just don't know if that's something he wants to run back again. It's kind of So that's why also a lot of the guys I was highlighting, they're playing on the select team. So obviously they want to play for USA. They already have committed to like playing in the summer and stuff. So, and I do think that back end of the bench, I don't know if they're going to fill it with as many superstars as they did this time because of the Tatum controversy. And I think Jalen Durr and Keegan Murray kind of fit into that role of like very useful, like their skill set's very useful, but at the same time, they'd be fine with not playing a lot of minutes, right? So I think that's where, that was kind of what I was looking at too.
Yeah, I saw some people putting out their team. Someone had Zion Williams on it, Williamson. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not even in the league in 4 years. It sounds harsh, but he's always injured. He's out of shape. He's probably going to be in the league, but it wouldn't shock me. And I saw other people, another popular one, Ja Morant.
Yeah, that's the other one too. It's just like they haven't really been a part of the USA program the last couple of years. So I just don't know where they fit in. Do they just jump in and get an invite because they're one of the best players in the league? It's possible. But at the same time, I think they're trying to build. They need to build. This is probably the last Olympics where the USA just steps in with a full NBA roster like they do and just goes and win very easily. They need to start building like continuity amongst their roster and stuff. The world's getting better. And they're also losing Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry. Like they're losing a lot of guys. They're turning it over to like a completely new roster. So it's going to get more and more difficult. I think they're going to put more of an emphasis on the guys who play every summer. So I'm not sure if that's those guys.
Yeah. Okay. Time will tell. Let's talk about it again in 4 years, Mettler. Okay. So that's 4 years from now. We got some Major League Baseball games going down this evening. Good looking board. I got four picks for you guys. So let's get right into those. Let's start off in Tampa Bay at that dump Tropicana Field. Taj Bradley on the bump here for the Rays. Gonna fade this guy under 17 and a half outs, plus 108. So the 23-year-old might be hitting a wall here. Nine earned runs allowed in his last two starts. He's getting rocked by hard contact. Maybe a carryover from last season as he struggled later in the season last year as well in his rookie year. Taking on Astros team, really heating up against right-handed pitching. 919 OPS last week versus righties. For what it's worth, he posted an 864 ERA in two starts versus the Astros last season. And Tampa Bay's bullpen, red hot, one of the best in baseball over the past few weeks. So don't expect a long leash here for Bradley. Like I said, he's only 23 years old. Tampa Bay not totally out of it, though, pretty much, though. Not a whole lot for them to play for. It's not really in their DNA to run their guys into the ground. So Bradley's struggling. It will take him to have a short leash and not reach the 6 IP. Mark, next up, we go to Fenway Park. It looks like a fun one. The Rangers are in town, and we are going over 9.5, minus 102. Both teams trending heavily towards the over. 12-3 overrun for Texas, 17-3 for Boston. I hope some of you guys have hopped on that one. Bello on the bump here for the Red Sox. The over, a great bet in his starts, 14-5-2. He has a 5.71 ERA at Fenway this season. Naley gets a start here for the Rangers. He made his season debut just last week. Now, you might say, well, he only allowed one earned run. That is true, but he did get rocked by hard contact versus the Astros in that one. And we have just two god-awful bullpens here as well. Each bullpen has an ERA over 6 over the last 2 weeks, 27th and 30th in fifth. Next up, Luis Gill going for the Yankees against the Chicago Shit Sox. We're going to take Gill under 1.5 earned runs, plus money, plus 110. This guy's in elite form right now. He's got a 1.93 ERA over his last 5 starts. He's allowed one earned run or fewer in 14 of 22 starts on the year. This one shapes up pretty good for him. The White Sox, just a disgrace. Dead last in OPS versus righties over the last 2 weeks. And of course, he absolutely eviscerated this lineup for 14 strikeouts in May. He allowed just one earned run in that game as well. And let's wrap things up with Mirko Gonzalez, starting here for the Pirates. And what's going on with this one? If it's a trap, I'll fall right into it. But it looks like a pretty good spot. Under 16.5 out. Someone might be sleeping. The odds makers are asleep at the wheel potentially. He's 0-4 against this number with a 6.48 ERA since his return in late July, or early July, actually. He's made 4 starts. San Diego has been strong versus lefties, and they do their best work at home. And they just annihilated him for 5 earned runs off 8 hits, 4.2 innings of work. for him in that one. My man, you need to learn some Spanish so you can properly pronounce Gil? Is it Guile? How am I what's the pronunciation? Now, we do consider ourselves to be a bilingual sports program. Je peux parler français, but yeah, I will brush up on my Spanish. People have heel. All right. People have been critical, Mettler, of my pronunciations in the past, but yeah, I'll brush up on some Spanish here going forward. And especially if he picks up that under 1.5 earned run. So my apologies to our Spanish viewers or anyone else who's offended by my lack of pronunciation skills. Okay. So we're going to talk some rookie of the year bets here for the NFL, but like you discussed there, you went to the Lions training camp yesterday. So how does that work? You buy tickets or just show up, or you have to get on a list type of thing? How does that work? And tell us about the experience.
Well, my friend did it, but he said you just go on to Ticketmaster and the tickets were free. So you had to get a ticket. Cool. You had to have a ticket and scan it, but it was free. I mean, for a free ticket, it's a pretty great experience. If you have kids and stuff to bring them, I mean, they're practicing. They're just out there. Like, it's NFL players going through like the one-on-one wide receiver DB drills with Jared Goff throwing the ball. It's pretty cool. Yeah, they had two fields, lots of stands set up. They had food trucks. They had, you know, like your classic kind of like a tailgates kind of setup, and you just got to watch them practice. They practiced for 2 hours, and then I'm not a big autograph guy, so once the practice ended, we left. But there's players were coming around autographing. Kids were all on the fences and stuff, so all that too. It's pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. It's very clear. Like, when you're watching in person stuff, like Amon-Ra St. Brown, the ability to separate versus when you're watching the other matchups of like the wide receiver DB, it's pretty obvious how good that wide receiver is. The other guy who jumped off the page to me in not a good way was Jameson Williams. I know he's kind of getting pretty close to that bust label. He dropped like 3 or 4 passes. He had one really good catch over the middle, but I don't know. He looks and then every time like he would drop one, like he was a first round pick, right? You can hear the fan base. And it's like, ugh. The whole building's not building is outside, but you could get the vibe. It was pretty cool.
They sell beer there?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. It's funny you say that you're not a big autograph guy. I think that autographs are one of like the most overrated things within our society. Like, it's really like, I get this bat here. And this is kind of cool. It says it's Joe Carter from the Blue Jays. He signed Joe Carter 93. Like that's a pretty cool thing. And it's fine for a little kid, but you see these grown men in a lineup and it's like, oh, Jared Goff signed this napkin for me. What, are you going to put that on display in your home and tell people, like, you're going to try to sell that? Like, yeah, you're right. Like getting a picture with someone, that's like a pretty cool thing to have. But someone scribbles their name on a napkin?
Yeah.
Pretty overrated, in my opinion.
I'd personally rather help a kid, like, get the autograph than get it for myself. So, like, those people who, like, push the kids out of the way, that drives me. I was at Tigers game. I was at Tigers a couple of years ago batting practice, and we were on the field, and I got Aaron Judge to sign a baseball, and I gave it to my friend's kid who's a Yankees fan. So that kind of tells you where I stand on autographs. So
that right there, yeah, that is a classy move. And these guys who are stealing balls from kids and butting in, you guys are losers. A lot of these guys are doing it to sell.
Right.
Little kids, it's for the joy and love of the sport, right? So the purity of things. So yeah. Autographs, highly overrated. Okay, let's get into some more NFL futures. We're talking rookie of the year, both sides of the ball, offense and defense. Mettler, get us started. Who is your favorite bet to win offensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, it feels like a homer pick because I got the Vikings helmet behind me. They are my favorite team. I'm going J.J. McCarthy plus 2,000. It's not a homer pick because when they drafted him, I was like, I don't know if that's the quarterback I wanted. I live very close to Detroit near Michigan. I go to Michigan games. I've been watching Jay McCarthy for quite a while. We all, like, I'm very familiar with him. I do think the flip side of that is I do think he has kind of a perception that he is just a turnaround, hand the ball off guy. That's kind of was his role at Michigan. And you're kind of devaluing him in the market because that's how people view him. I've been watching, you know, the Vikings like highlights and what he's looked like in practice. He looks really, really good. And like the thing, he kind of reminds me of, I put Justin Herbert here on this graphic. Remember, I don't know if people remember when Herbert was at Oregon, he didn't really have like explosive stats. And he didn't go out there and pass for a ton of yards. And when he came in the NFL, you were kind of shocked what he did with the Chargers. I feel like it could be pretty similar to like that, where it's, you have this perception of the guy from what he did in college, but his college system was just very different. Now they flip to the NFL. It's a completely different system. And when I say completely different system, when you look at the Vikings, this isn't like a rebuild where he's coming in with you know, no wide receivers, no offensive line, no weapon. Like, he has Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones at running back. Kevin O'Connell's a really good, I think, offensive coach. You know, even last year, he was drawing up plays for Josh Dobbs and they're winning games. And, you know, with Nick Mullins and stuff, I think he's coming into a very, very good scenario. And his first preseason game, if you watch, he had two touchdowns. He had the one pick, but he had two touchdowns. They're NFL throws, and there's zip on them. And they're like, they're deep throws. These aren't like little screen pass someone houses for 80 yards and you get 80 passing yards. They were pretty impressive. He can also, he's mobile. He can run. So he can also add some rushing stats to his total too. I think at 20-1, I think he's, I'm betting on him. Like I'm betting on him. So I will have a bet on JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. Set up to succeed JJ McCarthy, but perhaps no quarterback has ever been set up to succeed better. And Caleb Williams, boring pick here, the favorite. I don't often like going with the favorites in these markets, but at plus money, I don't think any reason really to overthink this one. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, who, you know, some gray area there, he didn't start as a rookie. Has any QB coming into the league ever been set up better to succeed than Caleb Williams? DJ Moore on one side, Keenan Allen on the other, Rome Odunze in the mix, Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett, really good tight end combo, Swift and Herbert to hand off to. I think if he doesn't have a good season, it would be a massive upset, and I really do think he could solidify himself as a top 10 quarterback by the time the season wraps up, and I think that could be a major storyline throughout the season. Chicago, as we know, it's been a long time since the Bears have had a franchise quarterback. They've stunk for a long time now, and I think that could be a big narrative, and I think narratives do swing votes, so I do think that could be a big difference. I think a few of the receivers are going to have pretty good years. I can't fault anyone if they want to take Marvin Harrison Jr. in this market as well, but at plus 140, I like Caleb Williams. Okay, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Who do you like to win Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I'm going to take the defensive end from the Rams, Jared Verse. He was 19th overall pick. There was really no, you look at this draft, no one was drafted. I think it was the 15th pick was the first defensive player. There's no one really defensively at the top of the board there that automatically stands out as like a massive favorite. You kind of have the three or four edge rushers, the Colts edge rusher, Dallas Turner, Verse, and then Chop Robinson were kind of all jumbled in that like teens where they are drafted. I'm going to go Verse 11-1. The things that kind of just stand out to me here is, you know, he's productive at Florida State, first round pick, all that. But in terms of like the Rams don't even, they've traded all their draft picks in the past. They don't use draft picks on players unless they think they can be like immediately productive. That's kind of why they were trading their picks, because they just thought it took too long to get someone to like the point where they are productive. So I think if they drafted Verse, that kind of tells me that he's going to jump in and be ready right away. And if you look at their depth chart, he is starting and he's 23 years old. Some of these other edge rushers are 20. So I do think there's a chance for like immediate production. I do kind of like going after an edge rusher versus like a cornerback. It's just a hard market to win if you're, it's hard to stand out. Like Sauce Gardner won it, but like, I mean, he had the coolest nickname and like he just made good plays and like he kind of had like the whole like social media narrative as well too. And like people really knew who he was coming in. As an edge rusher, I think it's much easier to kind of take over as the favorite in this market eventually. And I did also like too, he sat out their first Rams preseason game. They said he was kind of getting like a veteran treatment. To me, that feels like they've seen a lot from him in practice that they like. they didn't feel the need to put him out there. So it also probably feels like he's integrating really well with their system. I was looking at all the edge rushers. I just felt like 11-1, this opportunity, I'll go first.
All right. I like another edge rusher. Speaking of guys with cool nicknames, Chop Robinson of the Miami Dolphins. He gets my vote, my pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year, coming in at 18. The one, don't expect the feeling out process here. He's going to need to contribute right off the bat. This is due primarily to the injury to Bradley Chubb. His return won't be too later in the season, most likely. Now, on the other side, Jalen Phillips, he's going to be back. They were announced that he was removed from the PUP list this morning. So that could take some attention away from Chop if they're playing on opposite sides of the line here. DC, new defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver came over from the Baltimore Ravens. He really emphasized using talent to blitz. Robinson has a lot of talent. He had the second fastest 40-yard dash time at the combine for edge rushers, and he should be able to provide speed and explosiveness here from Miami. And Miami, they're probably going to face more dropbacks than most teams due to how good their offense is. A lot of situations where other teams might be playing catch up, might need to drop back to pass a lot more. So I think Robinson, great athlete here, 18-1. I hope he wins the award as a fan of the team. They're going to need a little bit of help on the defensive end. Miami secondary, a little underrated in my opinion, though. So we shall see. Very much looking forward to football season getting going. Speaking of which, on August 26th, we're going to start rolling 5 days a week on the show here. Before You Bet, we're going to have a bunch of different guests coming back. We'll be announcing those in the coming days, coming weeks, potentially, once everything gets locked down there. Very excited for that, but we're going to be right back with you guys on Wednesday, breaking down more Major League Baseball. We'll have to find something for Mettler to talk about. No basketball to talk about. It's probably too early to be talking NBA futures here at this point here. But who knows? Maybe LeBron will do something silly to get into the news, and we'll have to check in with Mettler on that. But yeah, Major League Baseball, NFL futures, and anything else going on in the world of sports betting, we will be back to cover it on Wednesday. John, thank you for joining the show today. Dear viewer, thank you guys for checking us out. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight, and we will catch you guys on Wednesday.